Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
It is the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the middle of July. We are in the doggiest of dog days of summer, and we ain't talking about dogs. We did that last week. We might talk a little bit of fish this week, but I'm Jop and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking in your backyard?
Maybe, brother? A little dog fish.
There you go. Yeah.
Hey, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining the smokiest show on network radio, broadcast from the big barbecue mitten known as Michigan. We're so glad you joined us. And we love talking barbecue, anything food, anything on the grill, smoker, deep fryer, you name it. You knock the horns off it, wipe its butt, and we're going to throw it on the grill.
Run it right across the fire because I don't like it overdone.
That's right. Yes. Touche. Yeah. So today it's fish on, baby.
Yeah.
Fish on.
If you're a regular listener, you know that a couple weekends ago I spent some time with our friend Captain Ken over in Saginaw Bay, which is in the thumb of Michigan. The little crotch of the thumb is where the bay is. And, boy, we slayed some walleyes. So we're going to talk a little bit about maybe how he prepared those, because
right,
he made me a walleye dinner.
Mm. He does a good job.
Oh, man, it's great.
So it was very nice of you, and I stopped to see you last weekend, maybe?
Right. Yep.
After the show. You gave me a couple of beautiful packs of fillets. I ran right home and threw them right in the big deep freezer downstairs so they
right,
wouldn't get any freezer burn.
Yep.
That's an old-school freezer. And a little word to the wise, you can buy freezers that don't self-defrost.
Right.
Go ahead and do it, because it's okay to defrost that hog once a year.
Right.
Get your coolers out, throw whatever's left over in there. Right when it's about empty,
right,
great time to do it.
Well, and that is, it's a good reason to empty your freezer,
right,
too. Because
then you throw a bunch of stuff away. It's like, I haven't eaten that in 5 years. I'm not going to.
Right, yeah. You know, I write a date on everything,
oh, yeah,
I put in there now.
That's,
because I don't eat as much
yep,
as I used to. And
that's a good practice you've learned from the health department.
Yeah. Well, it's just, you know, that three-year-old pack of venison hamburger is,
I
like,
hear you, man. I hear you. I do,
I'll
the
boil
same
it
thing
up and give it to the dog, but
I
think
the
I'm done with it.
Exact same thing. I get a great, I have these wide Sharpies, you know,
right,
the little wide tip jobs, because after it gets some frost on it, it can be hard to see.
Yeah.
But that's just a great idea. Do the same thing on my canned goods, right on the lid with a Sharpie, so that, you know, once it's a year old for a canned good, I get rid of it.
Yeah.
I eat it or give it away.
Yeah.
So if you've gotten anything from me from 16, it's because it's old, okay? That's the way it is.
Hey, would you like some of these jalapenos?
But you know those asparagus I did?
Right.
They turned out fantastic.
Those won't get old? Is that what you're saying?
God, no. No, Christian's already through almost all of his.
I'm pretty sure I haven't seen a can of those yet.
You might not.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk fish on this show. This week, I've had a lot of fun. I'm working on getting us a new sponsor, and I won't say who it is. But I just visited the gentleman this week, and while I was there, I had to go right by Tontin Lumber, and my new countertop is ready. And so I got to go in, and Daryl took me on a little tour de plant.
Yep.
And so I'm going to pick that baby up Monday or Tuesday, and I'm so excited because it's all the hickory and oak from my property, some sassafras from my best friend Carl's property as my last piece of sassafras.
Right.
He gave me a bunch of it. And then a little bit of cherry from Tontin, and that's Tontin. If you want hardwood, go down there.
So they made you a butcher
cool
block
place
top for your island.
Yeah, well, I bound it all together and glued it and made this, but he's got big planers.
Sure.
So he could plane it.
Right.
And he was highly critical of my assembly job, but he made it look really good.
Right. That's the old silk purse and sow's ear magic,
yeah,
that guy's doing.
Yeah,
right?
Well, you know, one thing I didn't do was make sure that my boards were all really, really close in width. I figured he could plane them off anyway, which he did, but he just wanted something to bitch about, I think.
Well,
he's trying to jack my number up. I know.
I'm sure he is, right?
Oh, it was hard. It was terrible.
Yeah.
It looks really cool. I can't wait to get some oil on it. I'm still not sure if I'm going to put varnish or, you know, a food-grade polyurethane on it or oil it. If any experts are out there, it's going on a 9-foot island in my kitchen. So
well, the man,
give me your thoughts there,
Bob, coming from a kitchen guy at Standard Kitchens.
I don't want to know your opinion.
I understand because I already gave it to you. But your, you know, wood is porous. And anything you put on there, unless you oil that real heavily and on a regular basis, and if you choose not to finish it with a hard finish, you cook, you use that island. Wood is porous. It gets humid out. It swells. It gets dries. It shrinks. That's wood. Right. And you can't. That's Mother Nature. So it's going to absorb stuff is where I'm at. You dump a can of tomatoes on there. You better get it off there quick if you don't have that treated and treated pretty regularly.
Yeah. So you're saying polyurethane is the only way to go.
Just because you always use a cutting board anyway. You're not going to cut on that
surface.
But
I'm a slob and you know that.
Well, I do. And so salsas. I mean, I've been over. You feed your family at your island.
Yep.
Right? So get that big chip of your salsa and it three drips on it.
Yep.
And it's got lime juice in it, which
I
is
acidic.
I think
you've got some on
your
shirt.
Yeah, I got
shirt.
Some on my shirt right now. Yeah.
Oh, you get it. You want me to protect the counter from you.
Right.
Please.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I might be over. Right. Yeah. But anyway, but
that's
you get
why
it.
I made it extra long.
Right. Yeah. And just keep cutting the end off that I use, right? Slide it down. Yeah.
So theoretically, we're going to talk about fish this morning at some point in time, but I did want to, talk about how cool it is to make something from your land.
Yeah.
I walked out this morning before I came in here. I walked out back. I live out in the woods just east of Grand Rapids, Michigan, and just a little piece of acreage out in the woods on a hilltop. And you've been there a million times.
Sure.
It's just a pretty little piece of land I found in 1987.
Right.
Cleared the land, you know, Pioneer, two-man saw, all that stuff. No, I had an old McCulloch that weighed about 800 pounds.
Right.
But
you were a strapping young man when you did that.
I was. So now I'm a flabby old man. Yeah. But I love that piece of property, and I know, like, everything about it. So I think, where'd that tree come from?
Right.
This morning I walked out, and I was painting a bumper cover for Olivia. Somebody stole her bumper cover off her Mazda.
A bumper cover? What's
that? Yeah, you know, the plastic. Oh, it looks like the bumper, but it's really the actual piece of molded fiberglass.
So they trashed theirs and stole hers.
They popped it right off her car in the parking garage at GRCC. So I bought her one online, and, you know, I've been painting it, doing a horrible job. But she'll have a bumper cover. But she'll have a bumper cover. So I'm out there this morning to look at my work, and I'm like, okay, I think she can live with this because it's going to work. And I hear this rustling just 10 yards from me. And I look over, and there's a ton of turkeys standing right there, a bunch of toms,
yep.
Big, big toms. And I'm like, holy cow, this is the closest they've ever gotten in the house. Well, my dog's getting old. So he's hanging around in the air conditioning. He's not outside.
Sure. Zeus is no dummy.
They're not worried about
wisdom
it.
Comes with age right there, baby.
And I'm just standing there, and I said, hey, you guys might want to, like, back it up a little bit because I love eating turkey.
Yeah.
And they're just, like, looking at me and doing the head bob thing. I no sooner said that, and all of a sudden a stampede, and there's, like, probably only three or four, but it sounded like 20 deer. They just went booking across. They were, like, right behind them. 15 yards from me, I'm like, this is crazy.
This is Walton's Mountain.
Yeah.
Only it's Nurmico's Hill.
I love
hill.
It. Yeah. I love it. And they're getting closer and closer. And this time of year, to see a whitetail, they're such a beautiful tan.
Right.
I mean, I love killing them in the fall and eating them.
Right.
But this time of year, I just admire them.
And where I live is not nearly as rural as you, but I have them in the backyard every day.
I know you do.
And the buck's got antlers that are halfway grown.
You got those. You got those urban white.
I do urban white.
They're wearing high tops.
There's a political statement in there somewhere. But anyway, you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's deep frying at its best. Stick with us. We'll be back.